Good morning, and a warm Christian greeting on a dreary, a little bit cold morning. But may our hearts be warmed with love by our Father. And it was a blessing to be here this morning. I'd like to read just a couple of verses, and I'd like for you to listen along. And there's a common theme that's going to follow throughout these number of verses, and it can be summed up in one word. And I'm done. I'm going to see if you caught on. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. That then the Lord thy God, and these aren't all from the same chapter, I'm just going to bounce along, and then we're going to actually go back and look at a couple of these. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Do you notice any common theme that ran through those verses that could be summed up in one word? The word was used twice in the latter of the two verses. Compassion. And this morning I'd like to just go through, start in the Old Testament. I'm not going to look, there's more verses that we can look at, but I'd like to just to quickly go through the Old Testament and give a few thoughts as we go along. But to hear God's heartbeat, God's heart for his people. God's heart is to have a relationship with his people. We heard that about that in Sunday school class this morning. But we see time and time again throughout the Old Testament and even today where people rejected Christ, rejected God. And they wanted to serve self. They wanted to take their own way. But yet, God in his compassion extended himself to them and offered a pathway back. Something God is quite passionate about. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Thinking about last Sunday as being communion and thinking about the suffering, the death and suffering of Christ, or the suffering and death of Christ, and also his resurrection then. And then this Sunday, what do I speak on? And you have that thought that kind of comes into your mind, and you're, is it, isn't it, is it, isn't it? And as we went throughout the week, Wednesday evening just kind of confirmed it. And for you that were there, I'm sure you were blessed. But the message at mission meeting was, I am debtor. And thinking about what Christ has done for me in my life, and I will never be able to repay. But God is asking you and I to do a work for him. And I'd like to touch on that as we go throughout the message this morning. So there actually may be a few things that you actually heard Wednesday evening and maybe throughout the mission or through the conference, there's different things that came up that just kind of related to this. And I don't make an apology for that, but you may hear it again. Exodus 3, verses 7 and 8. We know this is the children of Israel in underneath Egyptian rule here. And I like to just to think about the God's thought for his people. Verse 7. Actually, I'll back up and read verse 6 and 7. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. See God's faithfulness. He had been faithful to the past generations, and his faithfulness, he's telling Moses, I will be there. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And the sorrows there carries a word of pain or affliction. God says, I understand. I feel it. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to move through these here fairly quickly. I'd like to touch on a few practical points in thinking about Jesus' ministry on earth and what you and I can do today. I'd like to read verses 1 through 10 just to kind of get the concept here. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says, And it came to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. And you see here again, God is telling the children of Israel, I am placing before you. You have a choice to make. You can choose to follow me, or you can reject me. And there's consequences that come with that. and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost part, unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And I think verse 6 is kind of the heart of this, of these 10 verses. God's compassion, this is what God wanted. And God, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed, a renewed heart, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body and in the fruit of thy cattle and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, and he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and thou shalt turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. He comes back and touches on it the second time. God's promise to those who are penitent, he will show mercy, a heart of compassion. And then you see there God's heart. He wants a heart that is fully devoted to him. I guess you could say that's the mission of his compassion. 2 Chronicles 36. I'd like to read verses 11 through 17. And compassion here carries a little bit of a different thought. It also carries a thought of to spare. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of heaven, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. We have compassion. I had mentioned it also carries a thought of to spare. We have, like I mentioned earlier, how God, in all through the Old Testament, we can see this, and even today, where God has pursued his people. He has called them, and yet they have rejected. They have rejected the call. And yet God again extends mercy to them. But we do see that there is a time when that line stops, because God is also a God of justice. He's holy, and therefore he cannot tolerate sin. And we have judgment coming down here. One cannot simply look at just one of the attributes of God. They must be viewed as a whole, not partially. Going on to Psalm 78. Verses 36 through 41. We see here a picture of compassion when man so often, like I mentioned just a minute ago, and they quickly forget what God has done for them, but yet he extends compassion to them. 36 through 41. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness, and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. Sometimes we can sit here and be critical of the children of Israel, and it's like, how could they? After God had done so much for them, why? Why do they keep rejecting him? But about what about you and I? God has extended to you and I the gift of salvation. And yet we fail, but God in his compassion is willing to draw us back into, give us a pathway forward. Psalms 86. I know this is a number of verses here, but I like just Thomas's words can't replace what the Bible says, and so I'm not going to make an apology for it, but I think it's just foundational to think about who God is, and just this is just one tiny aspect of it. 12 verses 12 through 17 of chapter 86. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have wrought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. Verse 16, verse 15 talks about the compassion. Verse 16, O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength. We need God's help. And just one more here in the Old Testament, going to Lamentations. This is the book right after Jeremiah, written by Jeremiah. And sometime in your spare time, maybe I shouldn't say spare time. Maybe you don't have spare time. Just take the time and read Lamentations 3. And we don't have the time to read it here this morning, but we see the heading of chapter 3 in my Bible says the prophet bewails his calamities, and I think we can make application for what, you know, sometimes in life brings some pretty difficult things. And for us to work through this, and I'm just going to touch on a couple of verses to get to some of the verses I'd like to get to, but first one, it says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. And he goes down to verse 7, he says, he hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. And verse 9, he hath enclosed my ways with what? It says, hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. And he uses different, quite colorful language as he goes down through here about the things that Jeremiah here is facing. Verse 16, he hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot my prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Verse 19, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And you and I are recipients of that every day. Thank God for it. Going on down to verses 31 and 32. It says, for the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, maybe we think of it as chastisement or difficult times in life, yet will he have compassion according to the multitudes of his mercies. That's a beautiful thought. And to follow that on, until a little later in the chapter, he goes on and talks about some more of his affliction. And he comes out to verse 48. He says, my eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not. Without any intermission. till the Lord looked down and what? And behold from heaven. God noticed. God notices. And in thinking about, you know, where you and I have found ourselves in life, we have been blessed. Yes, we are still. We still need God's compassion, and we still need to be, we'd like to look at this, be compassionate to others. But there are many people that have not, in the world today, in the coldness and the darkness of the world, that find themselves in very discouraging places. And there may be many tears that are shed on pillows that you and I never know. And we don't know. But God understands. God hears them. And we could start going through, we could give, you know, testimonies of different people who have found themselves what seemed like to be at the bottom of despair. And yet God's hand was there, his compassion, and guided them through that and brought them to himself. So I'd like to switch gears just a little bit and move on into the New Testament and look at 4 points of practical ways that you and I are called to, or should feel called to, show compassion to those around us by the life of Jesus. And thinking about the life of Jesus, actually backing up, thinking of compassion, what is compassion? Compassion is this deep sympathy, pity. What is sympathy? The sameness of feeling, mutual liking or understanding, the ability to share another's ideas, emotions, pity or compassion for another's trouble or suffering. Pity, sorrow for another's suffering or misfortune, a cause for sorrow and regret. Think of another one thing that goes along with compassion is kindness, sympathetic, gentle, benevolent. Think of empathy, the ability to share in another's emotions, thoughts, or feelings. Mercy, a refraining from harming offenders, the power to forgive, kind or compassionate. And I think another thing, or another definition that you can think of compassion is, it's the capacity to put love into what? Action. And I think you'll see that throughout the Gospels, where Jesus says, well, even in 1 John, where it says that your action needs to line up with what you say. And we'd like to look at that in a little bit. But we think of Jesus' life, his ministry. In John 4, Jesus, the disciples come to Jesus and they're trying to offer him bread. He needs something to eat. And Jesus says that, you know, my nourishment is to do the will of my Father. And in John 9, verse 4, we have Jesus sense the importance of his work and the urgency. He says, I must be about my Father's business. Yet in this, we think of the heart of compassion. Jesus did not, in his ministry, did not wink at sin. Go to John 8, you have the adulterous woman that is brought in front of Jesus. Actually, I'm going to turn there just quickly, just pull a couple of thoughts out. Let's make sure I get my story right here. In verse 3, it says, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and they set her in the midst, and they tell him, Jesus, you know, underneath Moses' law, and if you go back to Leviticus, I believe it's in chapter 20, verse 10, it talks about that if somebody is caught in adultery or is in adultery, they were to be stoned. And they ask him the question, but what say you? And we have him tempting Jesus. But we have Jesus stooping down. He writes with his finger on the ground as though he hadn't heard them. So it says that they continually asked him. And he lifted up himself and all he says is this, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone on her. Was that compassion? It does not say it. Use the word compassion, but I think it was. Jesus spoke to the heart need of those that brought her, and at the same time, he spoke to the heart need of that woman there. And I think she left changed, as well as those who left one by one. And she was the woman was left there all by herself, with Jesus. And Jesus says, "Woman, where are those that thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The first point I have is a heart of compassion. thinking of areas that we as Christians need to be moved with compassion. Number one is a heart of compassion for the multitudes. You turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Compassion on them, because they fainted or they were weary and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And the message title is actually taken from verse 36. He was moved with compassion. Thinking of having a heart of compassion for the multitudes, Jesus uses the picture here of sheep being scattered. There's no shepherd there, no one to give them clear direction, as a good shepherd would, as he directs them as to where they should eat, where they should drink their water for the day. Think of it in Bible times. And also taking them back to the fold for safety. This picture is also used in Psalm 78, verses 52 and 53. It says, but made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. That is God's desire in your life and in my life, to be that shepherd. It was Jesus' desire as a shepherd to provide that clear leadership. But would they accept it? But will you accept it? And so thinking about this compassion for the multitudes, you know, there's a mission field all around us. And wherever God has placed you, there is a mission field. Do you see it? A person with a compassionate heart will be moved into action and will enter the labors of God's kingdom. We do not have to look for. We do not have to look far for work, because there is no unemployment in God's kingdom. And it's not like in Christian life where you put the pause button on and now you're going to go do this. I have work. I have church. No. It is all intertwined. The mission field it goes with me wherever I go. People forget what you say. People forget most of what you do, but they will always remember how you made them feel. You know, in our fast-paced society, and this message is as much to myself as anyone, and those that know me can probably see many areas I need to grow in, because this is a challenge. And thinking about some of these, I like to just put out some practical points to think about, to stir our minds. And it isn't like you long and just check this box. You got it right now. No, we need to be filled with the Spirit as we go throughout our work and our lives. Sometimes it's time. Sometimes maybe it's time and a listening ear. Maybe it's some time for instruction. Maybe it's time for some monetary assistance. But with the pace of our society, as it seems like, at least in my mind, it seems like we keep speeding up. Sometimes it's just the time, like I mentioned, a listening ear and time. Wherever there is a human being, there is an opportunity for kindness. But there's another word that goes right with that. I say right with it. It's the opposite of that. And that word I think about is procrastination. It is easy to think that, well, I'll do it next time. Sometimes there never is a next time. I came across this. It's called Time Bank. Let's suppose that you had a bank that each morning credited your account with $1,440 with one condition. Whatever part you fail to use during the day to be erased from your account, no balance to be carried over. What would you do? You draw out every cent every day and use it to the best advantage. I think we'd all do that. We'd been taught to be thrifty. We wouldn't let it lay over, you know. Well, you do have such a bank, and its name is called what? Time. Every morning it credits you with 1,440 minutes. It rules off as forever lost whatever portion of this you have failed to invest to good purpose, nor is there any drawing against tomorrow. So sometimes the most Sometimes very important moments are right now. And it's easy sometimes for myself to procrastinate. I will push it off. And that word tomorrow comes up. I also came across this. Thinking of tomorrow. Tomorrow cannot be found in God's calendar. Tomorrow sounds so innocent, but it's life's most dangerous word. Tomorrow is the road that leads to the town called Never. Tomorrow is the barred and bolted door that shuts people out of heaven. Tomorrow is the nursemaid of hell. Tomorrow is Satan's word. Those who expect to repent today usually die today. No, I said it wrong. Tomorrow is Satan's word. Those who expect to repent tomorrow usually die today. Don't count on tomorrow. You think about, you know, the seriousness of time and sometimes to push it off till tomorrow. And I guess in thinking about that, I guess my thought was going to is the moments that you and I have to witness for Christ and to show compassion, to show love. What is compassion? It should be the indwelling of God's presence within us and his love as it flows out to have compassion. And it's going to have a different feel and a different touch. Yes, there are compassionate people that are out there that maybe would not profess Christianity, but there is something different about a person that has Christ within them. Their heart is overflowing with his love. The touch is different. Number two, a heart of compassion for the unfortunate. Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. Matthew 20, verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the way side, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, because they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And Jesus stood still and called on them, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They said unto him, "Lord, so that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Did you ever stop when you read that account and wonder? You think about Jesus, who was God in the flesh. Yet he asked this person, he asked this young man or this man a question. He knew the need of the man before he ever asked. Why ask? I think there's some practical points we can pull out from this. Number one, or one point is that questions are a good conversation stimulator. Sometimes simply to ask a question. And thinking about compassion for the unfortunate, how will you know if you don't ask questions to start a conversation? Also, it gives an opportunity for someone to express their need. And it also tells the individual that there is an interest in their set of difficulties. And it can speak volumes in that. Because there are people in life who suffer from physical ailments. We know that. We live in a fallen world and we see the effects of that. There's sickness. There's pain. Maybe it's a life-altering event in their life that's totally out of their control. And yet, it affects them deeply. Maybe they need somebody just to simply walk alongside of them. We don't have the answers, but we can point them to somebody who does, but to be the listening ear, to provide emotional support. And we'll look at that in the next point just a little bit. But thinking about the unfortunate, maybe it's a financial setback. Maybe it was a poor decision, and now they're facing some of the consequences from that. But to have a heart of compassion, to walk alongside of those individuals and showing them love. So I'll just make a couple just practical points. Like I said, these aren't just boxes that you check and then I'm done, or you're done. But just some of the stimulator thinking. And this one's for the young people. Because at a young people's age, at least at our age, we don't go out to eat very much. And there's multiple reasons for that, maybe. To take a family out, it gets expensive. But not only that, it's just... I don't know. It's just something about sitting around your own family table and eating that's just different. The other thing is, sometimes in stages of life, you don't feel like making a scene that's free for everyone to watch. And so sometimes as a young person, maybe you go out to eat. And I'll just challenge you to think about this, is that as you're out to eat, sometimes it takes a noticing of those that are around you. And as you hear conversations, that you can realize that, you know what, there are actually, this person over here may have a need. And if you didn't get the drift by now, that means not on your phone. Because you have to be able to listen. And there are times when you're out to eat, and as you're eating your meal, and maybe you hear a couple of you conversing, and maybe they just got back from the hospital, and they're working through cancer. And it can be very devastating for them. You want a tip you can do? Very simple. Just ask the waiter for the people, that's the couple that's sitting over there, you'd like to have their ticket. Nobody has to know it. God can bless it to his ability, and take that ticket, and when you pay yours, pay it. We live in America, and there we can earn a good living, but what are we going to do with it? We're responsible. And that's just one area. Just things like that, as you go throughout life to think about it. You can bless individuals' lives, and God can take it from there. It's a way that you're way to touch individuals' lives. And the other thing you may think of is that, well, I don't know for sure if they need it. So prior to moving in here, I had worked for a gentleman that was very successful in business. And his business grew to quite a size, to a point where he was building equipment and things for big factories. And it was getting shipped throughout the 48 states of United States, throughout the lower 48, into Canada, also over to other parts, other countries. And this man had a heart of gold. And he would touch, just being with him, he would touch different, as he went around, he touched people's lives. But his wife had MS. Okay, financially, he was very well off. And he needed somebody to drive him around because of his belief, his faith. And different times, I would, sometimes you need to be hauled somewhere, we'd go somewhere on a trip or something like that. And he told me one time, he said he was at a Cracker Barrel, and they were eating, and they went to pay his bill, and he said that somebody already paid it for you. And to him, that just blessed him. He said, it was probably because of my wife. They seen my wife sitting there in a wheelchair, okay? The person really had no idea where this man was at. This man was very successful. But yet, it spoke to his heart. And so sometimes for us as people, we can look on somebody and we say, well, that person needs help. I don't think that one does. You know, James has some words for that in James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, or actually some of the verses before that. But, treating one person differently, because this person's in good raiment, so I would treat them differently. This person's in poor raiment, I would treat them differently. And you can look at that two different ways. One is that, okay, the poor person needs help, the rich person doesn't. Or I'm going to pay attention to the rich person, but the poor person isn't quite in my social, sphere. I guess my point is this, that to reach out and to bless other people, don't look on what appears to man on the outside. Be sensitive to the Spirit. Sometimes God will maybe they are, but maybe they're facing some emotion, maybe they're facing something in their life that is very difficult, whether it's, sickness, whether it's, what you fill in the blank. Just one way that we can have compassion for the unfortunate. Point number 3, a heart of compassion for the bereaved. In Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 15, quick turn there and read those. See the heart of Jesus as well. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Jesus was touched with grief. And also in the story of Lazarus, we have them coming and telling Jesus that his friend Lazarus has died. And Jesus says he abode there 2 more days. Wasn't there urgency? To man's view, there was. We know the story there. We have Jesus coming. And the words, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus showing emotion. Jesus was touched with grief. And this is something that there are those of you here this morning that feel this in a much deeper way than I can. But I think it's things for us to think about. You know, death is painful, and separation from loved ones here on earth is painful. Because relationships are valuable. Because, you know, it's people that we take with us. It's only people that we can take with us from this life. So just a couple of just practical things to think about in these areas. Show an interest in their lives, their grief journey, and simply listening to you. Maybe it's cards at the anniversary that mark the time of their death. Because, you know, the loneliness on that journey continue long after death of the loved one. And I can't say that from experience, from what other people have shared. Some time back, I had read a story of a mother who had lost her son to a drug overdose. And her comments on how the journey was so lonely afterwards, she said, yes, there was much support over the time of the death and funeral, but people go back to normal lives. But she needed to find a new normal and how difficult that would be. And God give us wisdom as we try and reach out in different ways. You know, a church family is such a blessing through this time, as we have a brotherhood to support, to hold up through this time of loss. And also, it's the blessing of having the confidence that God is with you in every step of the journey, and we can help demonstrate that to our brothers and sisters. Actually, I have one other point I was going to make back on thinking about those that are less the unfortunate. This morning was announced about the churchwide need, and also our Brendel had put on the chat about the local brotherhood assistance needs. You know, those are all things that you and I face today that we can have a heart of compassion and we can give to. And thinking about, you know, different individuals and the health journeys that they're on, they didn't choose these. But yet, may our hearts be moved with compassion as we reach out and as we can touch their life in a small way. The last point I have, number 4, a heart of compassion for my spiritual family. Matthew 23, verse 37. And as you read these words here, I can only imagine the heart of Jesus as he said this. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Do you think Jesus' heart, can you feel Jesus' heart in that? Thinking of Jerusalem as being the capital city of God's chosen people, a city to soon be destroyed, God's heart ached, Jesus' heart ached for them. His chosen people, the Jews, were rejecting him. And thinking about rejection, put a little plug in here for the children. Children, do you ever think about, or do you ever feel, hopefully you never felt it, but sometimes it can happen, but there are children in schools today who feel bullied. And it's very unfortunate. And they feel, rejected. Never do that to somebody. Never do that. It can bring a lot of discouragement, and it brings a sense of worth. Am I worth anything? Don't do that to your friends. Include them in your circle of friends. Don't simply limit it to a few. That could actually be for all of us as we go throughout life. To not, just include people. And thinking of here of a heart of compassion for my spiritual family, and God's heart ache for the Jews and the rejection of him, I guess my thought here is that, you know, sometimes in our own families, in our own churches, there are individuals who make poor choices and decisions in life. Maybe they decide to walk their own path. They reject truth. And they're searching for, maybe they're searching for something else that'll bring them meaning in life. And it grieves our heart, because we know that the seeds that they're sowing today will produce a harvest, and it may be very bitter. But what's my attitude towards them? Do I see a heart that is hurting and needs Jesus? Because yes, Jesus is the answer to everyone's problems. And we need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. And not an attitude of, well, I would have told you so. Because isolation is not the answer. And maybe in life sometimes, as a church family here, there are journeys that you have walked in life that have been very difficult. And you have felt support from other people as you have walked that journey. And you come through on the other side, maybe there's times in life now where you'll need to walk alongside another individual and help them find the strength, maybe inspiration for some days to go on in their journey, to provide support and encouragement. So in conclusion, thinking about compassion. Compassion is more than just a reputation. It should be. The mission needs to be to help people find God in a more real way. And as we reach out in compassion, it's not about myself. It's not about what people think of me. But it's about what? To glorify our Father. One more verse in closing in Matthew chapter 5. It talks here about a light that cannot be hid. And thinking about the light that is within you and I as we have accepted Jesus as our personal Savior, it needs to shine forth. It should. And you can't cover it. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Yes, as you and I are filled with the Spirit of God and His love, there will be works that follow. And there should be fruit that men can see that we love the Lord. And what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. I guess that's my prayer, is that as we go throughout life through this coming week, and as we reach out and as we touch people's lives with compassion, that through our action that our Father would be glorified. God bless you. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.